towards Sheni of Parshas Nisavim, as part of establishing a social contract of accountability and dynamic interaction, rather than severing people from each other's responsibility for moral and religiously sound behavior, probably one of the dangers of the modern world, where people have become much more individual oriented based on the heritage of democracy, personal rights, personal property, less collective experiences, less unifying national fabrics. So the Torah wants to challenge this. So it divides between hidden failures that are concealed or obscure, that aren't overt or explicit, and there can't be public accountability or social responsibility for unknown crimes, but overt and explicit ones require a social and communal response. Hanisteros l'Hashem elokeinu v'haniglos lanu ulevaneinu arulam lasos is kol divrei hatarazas. Of course, the accent of lanu ulevaneinu reminds us that social responsibility is not just a moral or theological obligation, but it creates sustainable societies that are constructed upon moral agendas, moral concern. Again, I think in our modern day, the influences of privacy have perhaps been flexed disproportionately, and phrases such as none of your business, mind your own business, let each person decide their own, self-arbitration, has led to, perhaps, as I mentioned, a society sometimes without campus, compass, without role models, without clear and distinct moral values to which to aspire. But of course, Rashi, based on the dots placed upon the word lanu ulevaneinu and the word niglos, as well as the word ad, Rashi, as so often, claims that the dots qualify the actual text. These contextual or subtextual elements come to qualify. And Rashi writes as follows. Afal haniglos lo anesh asarab b'machav ros hayardin. Even the social responsibility only set in once they cross the Jordan River, entering Eretz Yisrael, accepting a communal experience at Har Gerizim and Har Eval, based on the distribution of brachos and aror, the levim in between the two mountains, the collective establishing of a society and a community geared towards moral improvement, religious experience, and reciprocally responsible for behavior. And it reminds us of, even today, when we're not living under paradigmatic conditions of Beis Din and Melech and Jewish full halachic sovereignty, there still is a sense that in Eretz Yisrael, the type of interdependency and interresponsibility is much more acute and much more accentuated than it is in Chutz La'aretz, where Jewish entities resemble more archipelagos amongst the larger sea, where there are communities and community buildings and foundations and services, but immersed within a larger sea of non-Jewish life. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, it's one integrated, holistic, interdependent fabric of Jewish experience, or as the Gemara in Harios refers to it, when deciding whether a community of people who live in Chutz La'aretz, the majority of whom have committed a sin, whether there are candidates to offer a collective korban chatas rather than individual korban chatas, the Gemara says, Hani ikri kal, hani lo ikri kal. The Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, not just numerically or quantitatively, but qualitatively, are described as a kahal, and hence are subject to the korbanos of kahal, as detailed in Parshas Vayikra. The Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, even though they may be more numerous, they don't aggregate or coalesce into a kahal, and therefore their korbanos have to be offered as individuals. And it reminds us that even without the mikdash and so many of the entrails of interconnected communal experience, still living in a holistic Jewish fabric in which our responsibilities stretch far beyond the horizons of our own religious interests, but to a more national audience, and of course far beyond ritual and Torah study and Jewish services, but to all national responsibilities, police, fire department, medical, politics, army, reminds us that even in our own day, Arevos And in our own day, with the challenge of Kol Yisrael Ra'evim Zeh LaZeh, a responsibility for other people's religious experience is challenged by the fact that so many people are secular. Kol Yisrael Ra'evim Zeh LaZeh is easier to envision in the narrow halachic parameters of the Gemara. I've already blown shofar. My friend is interested in hearing shofar. I have a halachic responsibility to facilitate his mitzvah, but he's got common interest. As opposed to today's reality, where the person for whom I'm responsible may not be interested in the mitzvahs that I want to catalyze or enable. And that's led to one of the interesting divides, so to speak, between the community that's affiliated with the Haredi approach and the community that sometimes is affiliated with what people call more of a national Zionist approach, is how do you express Arevos in a world that challenges Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, which is typically predicated upon assisting people interested in mitzvah performance, or in addition to rebuking those who fail, but in an environment in which the failures and malfunctioners are the minority, and your rebuke will stand a reasonable chance of rectifying. In our current reality, rebuking secular Zionist Jews would have no impact other than to create alienation and anger, and sometimes retribution. So how do you express Kol Yisrael Ra'evim Zeh LaZeh in today's world in Eretz Yisrael, in the country and the community of Israel? So the Haredi approach essentially adheres to the classic purist view of enabling people who are interested in mitzvahs and admonishing people who aren't interested or failed at mitzvahs, and of course operating within the parameters of the mitzvah of offering admonishment, by and large, the halacha rules. There are dissenting opinions, but by and large, if the subject of your admonition, if your rebuke, is completely disinterested and the chances for rectification and amelioration are almost nil, then the admonition shouldn't be offered, because it'll just create anger and distrust. Whereas those that operate within the guidelines of a national religious agenda are interested in creating religious meaning, and not just religious meaning, but also religious coverage and ritual coverage, so that our responsibilities of Kol Yisrael Ra'evim will be met at a minimal level. And that affects many, many areas. And sometimes it creates a direct clash between the broader interests of Kol Yisrael Ra'evim Zeh LaZeh to pursue religious performance and opportunities for those who aren't interested, and the strict classic interpretation of halacha. So, for example, kashrus would be the classic dividing point, or the classic challenge. In Chutz Laaretz, certainly where there are large consumer bases interested in kosher food, thereby providing rabbinic negotiators for kashrus standards with leverage, in Eretz Yisrael, we need the food, at least at a national level, to be kosher. Because we're interested in extending an umbrella of kosher opportunity to millions of Jews who on their own, independently, may not be interested or may be moderately interested in adhering to kosher standards. So therefore, the rabbis have very little leverage in demanding kosher standards. And necessarily, and to the surprise of many people who come to Israel, the kosher standards sometimes are far less comprehensive than they would be in local, certainly United States situations, or even other local contexts. And that's why many people, myself included, will accept those lax standards or criteria when it comes to areas of kashrus that are less complicated, candies, fruits and vegetables, pasta, things of that nature, dairy, when it comes to meat, in which sheep is much more complex. So at least in my own personal choices and selections, I'll try to select only certain brands of meat or certain standards of glad or kashrus. And a more of a Haredi approach is less interested. Is interested solely with the food on their plate and the kashrus standards of their food, and isn't as interested in creating a sweeping kashrus standard. During the Shemitah year, it becomes particularly pronounced, because not only is it lack of an interest, but it may ironically be a subversion or sabotaging of other national interests. So, for example, the easiest way to keep full compliance for Shemitah is to import all fruits and vegetables either from international locations or, as it ends up being much cheaper, from Gaza, in which not only are they being planted by Gentiles, but it may not even contain the Shemitah limitations to begin with. But much of the money paid to farmers who deliver fruits from Gaza may find its way into terrorist hands and may be blood money. The approach of people who support the Heter Mechira is one in which I'm not just interested in the kosher standards of my plate, but I want to create an infrastructure of kosher opportunity for a broad spectrum of people. That, along with the need to maintain the agricultural economy during Shemitah year, means that an extremely, extremely flimsy kula of selling the land has to be endorsed. So it's Shemitah that creates a direct contrast between narrow, laser-focused halacha compliance with a particular sif in Shulchan Aruch and a broader agenda, both economically at a national level, as well as assuring that people will eat kosher food and, of course, avoiding delivering money to our would-be enemies and potential murderers, and just different approaches and different times. I remember at earlier stages, I would prefer the Haredi approach to Shemitah, and I tried to be makbid on eating without food, but obviously the last two Shemitahs in which the situation in Gaza has deteriorated, it's been a very clear sense of enemy. I feel like Badat's food is less kosher. How can I be eating food and assisting in some indirect fashion? So I've been makbid specifically to eat Heter Mechira food. Another area where this potentially clashes is Geirus, conversion issues. Again, interpreting the strict expectations of Geirus would exclude hundreds of thousands of Jews from the former Soviet Union who are deeply interested in joining the Jewish people, but certainly not adhering to the expected standards of conversion, because so many Israelis don't adhere to them and they're Jewish, so why should a convert have to outperform a local Israeli? Those who have more of a national interest in creating Jewish membership and inclusion are trying hard to create a keres which upholds halachic expectation, but still is acceptable to people within reason who are looking for Jewish meaning and for halachic introduction to their lives. So this pasuk of Arevos, which is framed in a classic setting of people interested in mitzvah performance or receptive to rebuke, has now unfolded into a different reality and has led to a diversion or a deviation of opinion, not diversion, but a deviance of opinion as how to best apply it. And the Haredi approach says that we'll follow the classic demands of Kol Yisrael Arevim, and when those aren't men, those aren't feasible, we'll contract into our own strict halachic observance and adamant Torah study and relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reshape the reality. Whereas the national religious approach suggests that maybe Arevos, at least in spirit, demands that we create extendable religious opportunities, even if it means that somehow part of halacha will never be overtallied. Halacha can't be overtallied, but can it be flexed to allow certain leniencies for the greater good of Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh Lezeh.